At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
Welcome back to the podcast. Today, Rivian boosts its R2 plans, global EV sales hit a record, and tax credit changes hit GM. Plus, stay tuned. Later in the show, I'll tell you the record amount of megawatts that Australia's most powerful battery just released back into the grid. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. This is EV News Daily. Let's get into it. Rivian has planned R2 production at its normal Illinois plant and just increased their estimates. Previously, they said that it'll do 155,000 R2s. Next year projected alongside 85,000 of the R1s and R1Ss, R1Ts. And they got about 65,000 vans as well. This week, the CEO, his RJ Scaringe, said the plant will be able to make up to 175,000 R2 vehicles. That's 20,000 more than the previous projection. But that's at the detriment of the R1s. They're not making more vehicles overall. And that's kind of understandable because, you know, I think that there are 60, 85,000 people, whatever it was, that wanted an R1 vehicle, they've probably got one by now. And I think there's so much excitement around the R2s. The factory's already produced hundreds of production intent builds, he said, undergoing retooling at the moment for full-scale manufacturing, though Scaringe called the early ramp modest, said that the first step is moving from less than 50,000 R2s per year. Rivian reaffirmed the normal plant's annual capacity is in total 215,000 units and said the higher R2 forecast is because of things like supply chains being localized, strategically located next to Rivian, things like a 1.2 million square foot supplier park in Normal that allows major partners, the likes of OP Mobility, they make the components like the bumpers, directly on site, right next to where the vehicles are made. R2 deliveries will begin in the first half of next year. Starting price will be $45,000 eventually. That won't be the first car out of the factory doors. It'll start with higher price trims, but they will come, we think, before the end of next year. Now, this is great news. Global deliveries of BEVs and plug-in hybrids, BEV is battery electric vehicle, by the way, if you're new to the podcast, a record 2.1 million in September. This is global. This is all plug-in vehicles, and it's 2.1 million in a single month. That's compared to the same month last year, 26% higher, led by strong demand in China, Europe, and of course the expiration of the tax credit in the United States brought forward some sales. China accounted for 1.3 million vehicles, as September, typically the country's busiest buying month, saw consumers accelerate purchases to use trade-in subsidies before some regional phase-outs as well. North America posting a monthly high as US buyers rushed to claim the expiring federal tax credit. Now, the organization Row Motion has warned that demand will fall sharply in Q4 as consumers and businesses lose access to the incentives, but I'm no expert. I disagree, actually, and I'll tell you why in one of the following stories. Europe reached a new monthly peak as well. In Europe, 427,541 plug-in vehicles. That's up 36% year on year. Strong demand in the UK, strong demand in Germany. Model Y had some really good offers on in the quarter as well. Chinese brands like BYD and JQ gaining popularity in Europe and the UK, with models like the BYD CLU and the JQ7 achieving top 10 status amongst all cars, not just EVs. These family-oriented SUVs and crossovers are affordable, they're functional, and they cater to the mass market. Now, General Motors will record a $1.6 billion hit, a charge, after scaling back their US EV manufacturing capacity, talking about expectations of slower US EV adoption than were predicted years ago when these projections were made. The filing says $1.2 billion in a non-cash impairment and other charges from EV capacity adjustments, and $0.4 billion in cash charges related to contract cancellation fees. That's a big deal in the supply chain if you, many years ago, have contracts in place and now you need to adjust them or even cancel them. There is a cost to that, of course. GM said late last year that they were, are you ready for this? GM said they were variable profit positive on their electric vehicles. What does variable profit positive mean? I think it means that selling above the variable costs. So anything it costs to make the vehicle, so the materials, the labor, they're all variable costs to put a car in your driveway. It doesn't cover the capex, the fixed costs, building the factories and putting machinery inside them. And so higher production hasn't increased its losses there, but they're not overall profitable on their electric vehicle programs. Now let's talk SK. Again, in terms of some of the projections made post-lockdowns when it was kind of almost giddy, are we all going to be driving EVs in the next 5 minutes? Lots of battery investment in the United States, and some of that battery capacity is now being used not for electric vehicles until the market perhaps catches up, but for energy storage. And that's fascinating, isn't it? So SK On, the South Korean company, is expanding its LFP, that's lithium iron phosphate capacity, in Georgia after signing a four-year, $1.4 billion deal with a Colorado firm, which I think is called Flatiron Energy Development, or maybe Flatiron Energy, to supply 7.2 gigawatt hours. Delivery start next year. SK will convert part of their NMC battery lines at their plant in Georgia. So NMC is, or NCM, nickel, cobalt, manganese. It's chemistry which EV batteries have typically been made out of outside of China. LFP, lithium iron phosphate, is cheaper, great for mass production of LFP cells in the United States in the second half of next year. And it's sometimes a lot cheaper as well. The conversion creates a dual chemistry facility. It's really important. They can adjust to the market then, can't they? So SK and LG are going to be the only battery makers with a North American plant that can make both. LFP is capturing the US energy storage market as tariffs on Chinese-made cells, which right now are 41%, next year they'll be 58.4%, mean China's cells are less cost competitive, and actually it puts US cells or China cells all around $85 to $90 per kilowatt hour for energy storage. So you might as well buy the US made ones. Now, Great Wall Motor is relaunching in Europe, a new push with a revised product strategy and the same dealer-based sales model, focusing on SUVs under their Haval brand. Great Wall Motors first arrived in Europe in 2021 with two BEVs and two plug-in hybrids. They were SUVs, but the results, I'll be kind, we'll call them modest. In 2023, they sold 316,000 vehicles outside of China, but in Europe, only 6,300. And they closed their European headquarters in Munich. The lineup has been reprioritized to add hybrids alongside pure BEVs and plug-in hybrids. And they say they're still investing in the European market. They want to spotlight Haval, H-A-V-A-L, Haval, Haval, anyway, in other markets as well. And that'll be their focus going forward over here. Now, let's get back to this story about the United States and the federal tax credit, because there's a lot's been said about how many people think that the US is going to enter the dark ages for electrification. And who am I to argue with the likes of, well, very well-informed people like the CEO of Ford, for instance? Jim Farley thinks that the new car market in the US could go from 10% EVs to 5%. And Rho Motion, who I mentioned a little while ago, said it's going to fall off very steeply this quarter. I think we should, let's wait and see, should we? Because despite the federal tax credit going, which is undoubtedly a short-term pain in the backside, automakers and dealers have actually kept the pricing, the incentives, pretty substantial. The director of insights at Edmunds, Ivan Drury, saying that dollar for dollar, you can't find a better deal on an equivalent ICE vehicle than if you buy an EV. General Motors gives about $6,000 of net savings, which is not much less than you were getting before with a federal tax credit. Several models from Ford now have 0% APR and cashback, like the Ford F-150 Lightning, Kia's EV6, EV9, 0%. Ford credit offering 0% for 72 months on the Mustang Mach-E. Stellantis, well, they're matching the $7,500 now expired federal tax credit on existing stock of plug-in hybrids and BEVs, and some bonus cash for leases and purchases as well. Hyundai's doing the same amount for their IONIQ 5 and last year and this year's model years, or 2026 model years. A notable lease example is something like the Chevy Blazer. So $1,500 down, which is not a huge amount of money. I'm not a huge fan of putting any money down on a car. But if you've got to put some down, okay, $1,500, and then $299 a month for 2 years to lease a Blazer, a great vehicle. And although I don't lease vehicles, so I can't tell you whether that's a stellar deal or not, $300 per month for a Blazer in your driveway, if that's for you, it seems like a good deal to me. So I'm not so convinced with this theory that the US is about to walk its way backwards to combustion. You can't put the genie back in the bottle, and people know EVs are just better. I think this is also some short-term pain that'll shake its way out. Anyway, let's talk about China. They have asked the World Trade Organization to help with a situation in India over New Delhi's subsidies in EV and battery sectors. China's Ministry of Commerce said on Wednesday this week, a ministry spokesperson said the measures breach WTO obligations, like the National Treatment Principle, which I'll confess I'm not fully familiar with, but it's about import substitution subsidies, which is prohibited under WTO rules. They say it harms China's legitimate interests, and they want some resolution to this. I think, you know, China has done, if anything, over the last 20 years, certainly use all of their power and pulled every possible lever to subsidize and incentivize the EV industry, whether that's cheap money to build factories, and there's a massive oversupply problem in China, whether that is encouraging people to buy domestic products through various means and, you know, not a foreign product. And so, you know, other countries are saying, well, hey, China do this, and so we'll have some of the same. Maybe it's not exactly like for like, as I'm no economist, but, you know, China complaining over countries giving help to their industries is somewhat pot, kettle, and black. Now let's talk about EVs in the UK. A new data point coming out of the comparison website Compare the Market. They say that EVs cost £350 a year, less than a comparative combustion car. That's good. That's important to always compare like for like, by the way. I've seen that from people saying, well, EVs aren't cheaper because, you know, if you compare a little, I don't know, Toyota Aygo or something, a little city, a segment small car, and a Tesla Model S, well, they're about the same price to run if you look at the insurance. And the, okay, so let's not do that. Let's do comparative models like for like, which is what you need to do. If you look at the insurance, the tax, and the fuel, the thing, and they say that it's £350 a year cheaper to drive an EV, but that doesn't include service. They ignored any kind of service. And of course, that is a really, really big issue. Maybe not for a brand new car, because hopefully new cars don't need service. And hopefully they're all under warranty that doesn't get any kind of pushback if something goes wrong in the first 3 years. Look, a lot of EVs have got 7, 8, 9. I've seen a 10-year warranty coming out of China. Hopefully they're good for that. I'm still around in 10 years. But if you are driving combustion cars any period of time, well, then service does start to kick in. You do start to need oil changes and catalytic converters and all the oily, greasy bits that eventually will want to bump into each other in unfortunate ways. And you have to try and, you know, stop that happening. And so, you know, keep the engine running smoothly. That's a very expensive hobby if you really love your petrol and diesel, which you just don't get with electric vehicles. Anything that can go wrong with an EV is something that's big, which is why I've got a third-party warranty on my Polestar, because I don't really want a surprise bill. I don't mind paying for a warranty. My Polestar's 5 years old now, and if anything goes wrong with it, I know that I'm covered. Could I have saved some money? Yeah, absolutely. Am I worried about small things going wrong with it? No, not at all. Look, cars are mechanical, and we've seen this with some of the older Teslas now. Some of the mechanical bits, not the motors, although some are have been replaced, obviously, and batteries have been replaced. But some of those mechanical bits and that keep the wheels on the ground wear out, and that's absolutely fine. It's, you know, it's a machine. It's going to need servicing, but not in the way that a combustion car needs servicing. So another interesting data point there. Right, a new factory in Romania is starting the electric drive unit assembly for the GLC from Mercedes-Benz, which says it's getting closer. Star Assembly is a wholly owned subsidiary of Mercedes-Benz. They've now started making the EDUs, electric drive units, for their all-new, all-electric Mercedes-Benz GLC. They make them in Romania, and then they send them over to the factories where they are made. I didn't make notes on that. I think it is... I'm not quite sure where the GLC is going. Bremen, maybe. They'll make the GLC and ship it to Bremen, where they'll make that. GLC looks like a fantastic new all-electric vehicle. And so the fact that they're spinning up all those things right now, like making the drive units, which are all integrated, so the electric motor, the power electronics, and the gear units as well, a complete system, and then ship them off to the factory to be made, tells me that, well, looks like series production of the GLC is very, very close, maybe the beginning of next year. New York is investing nearly $80 million in zero-emission buses. New York State is investing the money across seven regional transit providers to accelerate the shift to zero-emission buses, also supporting the infrastructure needed to decarbonize. These awards come through the Zero-Emission Transit Transition Program, launched last year in December. With $120 million in total in the pot out of the state's budget, regional transit authorities and municipal providers are part of the recipients in this round. We'll take a quick break, a couple of stories when we come back, and we will talk about bidirectional wall boxes and solar plus storage. Stick around, back in a mo.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
All right, welcome back to the podcast. Now, the US has installed the first Quasar 2. That's a bidirectional home charger by the company Wallbox. I talk about wall boxes all the time, but normally I talk about the box on your wall rather than saying EVSC, which is, you know, technically the term. But there's actually a company called Wallbox, if you didn't know. And this time we are talking about the company Wallbox. They make the Quasar 2. It's a bidirectional charger. I've seen these demoed for such a long time now. And they work with things like the Kia EV9. And owners in California are now getting theirs installed as part of the initial rollout of these, so you can use your vehicle to power your home. Obviously, there's manufacturers that have been doing this a long time. There's the Ford system, the Tesla system, GM system. But this is entirely third party, installed through a collaboration with Kia, though, and the University of California. The Quasar 2 will not only charge your EV, but also send electricity back to the house. The chargers are deployed in a newly built all-electric neighborhood, it says here, testing how clean energy technologies support the residents and the grid itself. Wallbox will have a broader rollout of the Quasar 2 soon. Now, Oregon's rolling out solar and storage DC fast charging. I love stuff like this. The first station is in Pendleton, where XCharge North America is installing its dual dispenser GridLink chargers. The installation pairs the GridLink units, which are 215 kilowatt hours of storage. They've got 40 kilowatts of on-site solar, but I presume that's 40 kWp, and each unit will deliver 194 kilowatts to an EV. It's a very specific amount, enabling high-speed charging for EVs that pull up to it. The GridLink system supports bidirectionality, thermal management, fire suppression functions inside the battery as well. It will return back power from the battery back to the grid, and even the site on which it's based in an emergency. They're putting these into the Wild Horse Resort and Casinos Arrowhead Travel Plaza. which sounds lovely. Located on the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation lands, the Travel Plaza serves more than 1.7 million vehicles annually on Interstate 84. And so new fast charging going in, but paired with solar and storage. Hey, congratulations to the Everything Electric team, aka the Fully Charged team. Everything Electric Farnborough was last weekend. Couldn't attend myself. I was away with the family, and we were not too far away, actually, but I couldn't make it, as you well know if you were listening to the weekend episodes of the podcast from location. I took my microphones and laptop and everything with me so I could work on holiday, but we were away for the weekend, so we couldn't make it this year. But I wasn't needed. There was a single largest attendance day record for the Everything Electric events. It's a two-day edition. Normally they're three. It's the UK's first two-day edition. Saw 25,703 visitors, which matched last year, but it was over 3 days. Lots of test drives, lots of tech exhibits, more than 100 EV models, loads of Chinese, JQ, E5, Geely EX5, BYD Atto 2, Leap Motor T03, the new little Nissan Micra and the Nissan Leaf were there. Gutted I couldn't go. 3,000, almost 4,000 test drives were done over the 2 days. The new MGs, the IM5 and the IM6, they look cool. Chang'an S07. And the organisers linked more buyer interest from things like the new UK government grant scheme. There was a B2B day as well on the Friday. And that, I think, will be the model they use going forward. Should have some news on their UK dates for next year. And finally, Australia's largest battery has for the first time squirted its full capacity back into the grid. Not being an expert in grid electronics, I'm not sure the actual technical phrase is squirting the power back into the grid, but we'll go with that. It's not bad, is it? 850 megawatts of capacity. Yeah. The Waratara. Is that how I say it? Waratah? No, Waratah. That's more like it. The Waratah Super Battery has 1,680 megawatt hours of energy storage, and its rated capacity is 850 megawatts. They're close. It's in New South Wales on the Central Coast. They are close to commissioning that, by the way. This big battery is designed to be a shock absorber to the grid. It lets primary transmission lines, which supply Sydney, Newcastle and Wollongong, operate at their capacity, while the Waratah facility stands ready to respond instantly to faults or disturbances. That role is coordinated with a solar farm as well, and a wind farm, and even pumped hydro. They are, I think, got to supply a minimum of 700 megawatts to the grid, but it can do 850, and that is its peak. Its scale and rapid response is part of our future grid. With EVs on it, big batteries in your driveway, but even bigger batteries on the grid. What I love about this is it's built on the site of an old coal plant. Isn't that amazing? And it had its big moment putting its full capacity back into the grid as they get ready to fully commission that in Australia. Very cool little storage story to finish you off today. Thank you so much to our partners of this podcast via Patreon, which is the platform we use to fund this show. Now, how I earn a living. Thanks to our premium partners who get a daily mention. You can be one. Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.